And welcome to the show, Maral Gurari Parshas Shmini. If one takes a look in the Parsha of Kashrus, Perek Yud Aleph, where it's also got the various kosher and non-kosher animals, so we find the following interesting Rashi in the Psukim. Starting with Pasuk Dalet, talks about the different animals he can't eat. You can't eat a camel. It only has one of the two simanim of kashrus. It does chew its cud, but it doesn't have a split hoof. Similarly, the shafan, the arneves, they also do not have split hooves, even though they do chew their cud. And the pig is the opposite. It only has split hooves but does not chew its cud. These four different animals are they're not allowed to be eaten because they display only one of the two simanim, only one of the two signs that would indicate that they're kosher. Midasaram lo sochelu continues the pasuk Perek Yud Aleph pasuk Ches. You're not allowed to eat their flesh. Comes Rashi on pasuk Ches, and he says midasaram lo sochelu ainli ela elu shaar behemot tmeah she'ela shum siman tahara minayin. Rashi asks an interesting question, right? The Torah only actually delineates that you can't eat four animals that have one sign of Tahara, but not both. Let's say other animals that have neither sign of Kashrus, right? What about them? How do you know that you can't eat those animals? The Torah only talks about the animals that have one sign, but not the other. What if they're lacking both signs? So says Rashi, Amad Kal Vachome. It makes sense. It's logical. If these four animals that only have one out of the two are prohibited, clearly, if you're missing two out of the two, clearly those animals are going to be prohibited. The logic seems impeccable to the point where you almost even ask what was the question. I mean, yeah, clearly the Torah seems to be saying that don't be misled by these four examples, because, you know, you'll say they're half kosher, right? You know, they have one out of the two signs, so that they're half kosher. Maybe it can happen half the week, you know, during the daytime, not at nighttime. You know, they're okay out of the house, they're not okay in the house. You might concoct all kinds of things. You know, one is better than two, you know. But clearly, if it's missing both, I mean, the point that the Torah tries to tell you is don't be misled, even though these four animals do have one sign of Tahara. It actually almost seems self-evident. What may seem self-evident on the surface, however, bothers the Rishonim and the Achronim immensely. So comes the Maral and Gur Aryeh, and he throws us right into the midst of the whole discussion. The Hikshah HaRamban. The Ramban on these psukim asked the following kasha: V'halo ein mazhirin min hadin. We have a concept in Shas that just because you have a kal vachomer, a logical argument to establish either the existence of a lav, of a negative prohibition, or the existence of a punishment, it still doesn't entitle you to impose that punishment or to assume that a lav is there, right? In other words, the Torah has to come along explicitly and tell you that something is usur. You can't just derive logically that it's usur based on the existence of a kal vachomer, as logical as that might seem on the surface. To quote the Ramban a little bit more fully, and Rabbi Hartman in his notes quotes some of the language of the Ramban as follows: Lefi daiti, in my opinion, says the Ramban, in Cain lo yehe loke al sha'ar behemot tmeah. As Rabbi Hartman points out, the Ramban is not so much focused on the existence or lack of existence of an issa, of a prohibition. Again, it does stand to reason that if an animal that has only one simen sahara, that if an animal that only has one sign of being kosher is going to be prohibited, if explicitly said in the Torah, it does stand to reason that you shouldn't be able to eat animals that are lacking both signs of sahara. But what's the nature of that prohibition, and can you impose a punishment if one eats one of those animals that's lacking both signs? So the Ramban focuses on the idea of punishment. Ein onshin min adin. We don't punish somebody simply based on a kal v'chomer. Right? In kein lo yehi loke al sha'ar behemot tmeya, she'en abo el midin kal v'chomer, she'en mazhirin min adin. And as Rabbi Hartman points out, the Ramban sort of blurring the lines between two concepts in Shas, ein mazhirin min adin, and ein onshin min adin. We don't create the existence of a lo sa'aseh based on a kal v'chomer. We don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. But the point is a similar point. As the Ramban is saying, how can you get punishment? How can you get malchus for eating one of these animals where, again, it may be logical that we're not allowed to eat it, but we do have a concept that you can't impose a punishment simply based on a kal v'chomer. Right, you can eat these animals that are both sides, right? So here's the shaila of this. Again, it seems pretty clear. You know, the Ramban is not entertaining even the thought that, you know, if it's lacking both, that you'd be allowed to eat it. But the question is, what's the nature of the prohibition to eat an animal that's lacking both sides? So you have a bunch of different options. It could be a full-fledged lav, you know, a full-fledged negative commandment that carries with it a punishment of malchus, of flogging for violating the issa. However, as things stand now in the Torah, eating an animal that doesn't have both signs of kashrus is what we call an iser aseh. An iser aseh means that implicit in a positive commandment, as zeh tochlu, only eat animals that have both signs, there's an implicit negative prohibition not to eat animals that are lacking one or both signs, right? So, again, clearly you can't eat it, but you wouldn't impose malchus for violating an iser aseh. In other words, halacha l'maaseh, if somebody were to eat an animal that has neither sign of tahara, he would be subject to malchus. Basically, that's what Rashi is saying over here, based on the Brisa and Taras Kohanim that he's quoting. So, says the Ramban, I don't get it. You know, you're imposing malchus. Let's just say that something is prohibited. Okay, I understand that it's prohibited to eat these animals because of the iser aseh. As zeh tochlu, only eat an animal that has both sides, not an animal that lacks one or both sides. But how do you know the punishment of malchus? That's only based on a kal v'chomer. So comes the Ramban is so bothered by this kasha that he writes the following. Havol ha-braisa hazel. It must be that this Braisa, which is being quoted by Rashi, again, Rashi is quoting a passage from the Taras Kohanim, the Medrash Halacha to Vayikra, which Rashi does Keseda throughout his commentary on Vayikra. A lot of the Rashis are based on Taras Kohanim. Says the Ramban, either this Braisa is Shluya Kedivrei Ha'omer Onshin Min Hadin, either this Braisa adopts an opinion which we do not adopt, namely, that you can impose a punishment based on a kal v'chomer. Oh, she'ena metaksa. Or says the Ramban, or the Braisa is just simply not an authentic Braisa. In other words, it's not an authentic representation of the views of Chazal. Sometimes we find that the Gemara will say that a certain braisa was passed down incorrectly. So even though the Ramban is saying that a braisa that was codified in Taras Kohanim, which you would figure gives it a certain kind of status, but nonetheless the Ramban is so bothered by the notion that you could punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer that he says it must be this source is quoted inaccurately from Chazal. I mean, the Ramban really is not, you know, not a fan of this Maimer Chazal that's quoted by Rashi altogether. That's how strong, you know, we saw Rashi and we said, oh, it's obvious. Comes the Ramban and says, not only is it not obvious, but it might be wrong. In other words, it's not correct to utilize a Kal V'chomer over here. Okay, so that's the Maral quotes the Rambam, and of course we know that the Maral's mission is to explain Rashi and, if necessary, to defend Rashi against criticisms like that of the Rambam, right? So if the Rambam is going to come along and say Rashi is quoting what purports to be a minor chazal, which either goes according to an opinion which we reject, or itself is just totally incorrect, it says the Maral, no, that's not going to work. We have to explain Rashi and explain where this minor chazal is coming from, and explain why it's not at odds with the concepts of Ein Oshin Min Adin. The Yesh Mefarshim says the Maral, some explain as follows. The hard the Ein Mashirin Min Hadin, Kisha Anu Boy Lil Mod Ikir Hadin Shlo Yodanu Klau Isura. Haz Anu Omrim Ein Mashirin Min Hadin. Says the Ramban, quoted Yesh Mefarshim, we'll explain to this Mefarshim and who is in just in a minute, but says the Maral, there's an opinion that says as follows. When do we employ the concept of Ein Oshin Min Adin, that we don't punish based on a Kal Vachomer? That's only where we didn't know the prohibition from the beginning. In other words, we walked in and we thought, this is going to be totally permissible. Were it not for the Kal Vachomer that comes along and says that this is not only prohibited, but it's actually subject to punishment. Then we say, Ein Masirin Min Adin. Avokan the Kvar Yodanu Isser Behemot Smeya Im Ein Losim and Sahara. Diksiv Osa Tochelu Gabi Behemot Sahara Velo Acheres. In Cain, Kol Behemot Smeya Hi the Isser Asse. The Alfin and Shafir Bekal Vachome. Velo Amrinon Ein Masirin Min Hadin. However, says the Maral, our case is different based on some of the ideas that we said before. No one ever thought that an animal that lacked both signs of kashrus was going to be permissible to eat. You can't say that. Because again, the Torah says explicitly, the only way you can eat an animal is if it has two simanim, two signs of kashrus. Right? So clearly, by implication, an animal that lacks both is not going to be kosher. Nobody can think it's kosher. It certainly is subject to an iser asei, to a prohibition that's learned out implicitly from a positive commandment. However, here we're trying to figure out, is it not only, perhaps it's not only an Isser Aseh, but it's actually allowed, and therefore subject to the penalty of Malchus. When do we say Ein Mashirin or Ein Oshin Min Adin, says the commentary, it's only when originally our assumption was it was totally permissible. Comes the Kal Vachomer and says, no, it's prohibited and you get punished. That we're not able to do. But where we knew from the get-go that it wasn't permissible, we're just raising the level of Isser, raising the level of impermissibility. In other words, not only is it not permissible, but it's allowed, and you get Malchus for it, that doesn't fall under the problem of Ein Oshin Min Adin. There you could use the Kal Vachomer to teach you those things. Kein Pirush Baal Magid Mishnah. Says the Maral, the author of this approach is the Magid Mishnah, one of the classic commentaries to the Rambam, in his commentary in the beginning of Parak Beis of Hilchos Macholos Asuras of the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah, a very well-known source, you know, for this idea that you can use the Kal Vachomer to raise the level of an Isser Aseh. Now, let's step back for a moment before we see the Maral's reaction to this and raise the following issue, which, you know, from a Lomdashir perspective is important in analyzing, you know, this perspective of the Magid Mishnah. Why is it that Ein Oshin Min Hadin? Right? When the Gemara says that you can't punish somebody based on a Kal Vachomer, what's the idea behind that? So, classically, the Achronim presents three different ways to explain why Ein Oshin Min Hadin. The simplest way is Seiros HaKosuf. Torah said so, right? Again, you have to explain why Ein Oshin Min Hadin, because on a certain level, if it's obvious logically that a punishment should take place in this particular scenario, why wouldn't we punish somebody based on that logic, right? I mean, the Torah does recognize the value of logic. The Torah recognizes the value of Kal Vachomer. So if the Torah recognizes these things, how come ain't on Shemit? I did. So one approach is simply to say, it's exactly HaKosus. Yeah, the Torah says, okay, you're right. And logically, there's no reason why you shouldn't punish somebody based on a Kal V'chomer, but that's what the Torah says. Okay. There's not much to talk about from that perspective. A second perspective is to say, you never know whether the Kal V'chomer will have some kind of pircha, some kind of logical flaw that will unravel the Kal V'chomer. You know, you and I think it's the Kal V'chomer. You and I think that, you know, A is clearly less severe than B. But you know what? There might be some small way in which, you know, A is actually more severe than B. And, you know, your whole Kal V'chomer will go out the window. So, you know, it's very nice for us to sit around the Beis Medrash and say it's the Kal V'chomer. When the guy starts getting Malkus, you know, and he doesn't really deserve it because the Kal V'chomer is flawed in some way, you know, you don't want to impose the Kal V'chomer literally on the back of somebody else. So, you know, the potential, even if it's a small potential, but the potential for flaws in a Kal V'chomer is what is behind the reasoning of the Gemara, Ein Oshin Min Adin. Finally, there's a perspective that Achronim that says as follows. You know why Ein Oshin Min Adin? Because maybe the person really deserves an even greater onus than you would give him based on the Kal V'chomer. Right? The Kal V'chomer imposes punishment A, but really the guy deserves much more. Now, the Kal V'chomer just means that, you know, the act that this person did is much more severe than an act which we know the punishment for. Okay? So if you take the Kal V'chomer, he certainly deserves at least the punishment that he would have gotten for doing the less severe thing, but maybe he deserves even more? So your answer to that might be, okay, so maybe he deserves more, but at least give him, you know, give him this, you know, if he deserves more, so be it. Well, it depends on how you look at onus. If onus is just to punish the person, alright, so, you know, maybe he gave him less than he really deserves, but at least he got something. But if the role of onesh is to serve as a kapara, as an atonement, and you're going to create a scenario whereby the guy, you're giving him a punishment that's less than what he actually deserves, and, you know, he's going to walk away thinking, I have kapara, I was atoned, and in point of fact, he really needs a bigger punishment, so you didn't do the guy a favor. So in other words, you can only impose the actual punishment where the Torah explicitly says that you impose this punishment. Otherwise, you're going to create a misimpression that the punishment that he got is going to serve as an atonement. So again, let's just review those three approaches that the Achronim have to Ein Oshin Min Adin. It's either just Gzeres HaKosov, the Torah said we don't do it, so we don't do it. Maybe the Kal V'chomer itself is faulty, so that's why we don't do it. You never know. You can never be 100% sure about a Kal V'chomer. Or maybe the Kal V'chomer would end up imposing a punishment which is insufficient to bring about the kapara, the atonement, which is really the point of any kind of punishment. Right. Unless you understand here that that's less of a punishment and more of a result. In other words, you know, she's not being, you know, it's not so much that that's her kapara, but maybe that's just, you know, the result of the saras that, you know, that she has to undergo, you know, she has to be mechus banachane for that period of time, you know, like any tsarua, like any mitzvara would. Perhaps, maybe that's the answer to that question. Right, and that's what I'm saying. So maybe that's not considered to be an onus. In other words, maybe in that context, that's simply considered to be the consequences we see. You know, that the consequence of this kind of embarrassment, you know, is to be mechus v'machane. You know, but we're not framing it in terms of an onus. So, you have these three different understandings of Ein Oshin Min Adin. Point out later Achronim that the Magid Mishnah is best understood if you assume that the Magid Mishnah holds the second of the three approaches which we outlined. In other words, if Ein Oshin Min Adin is Gzeiras HaKosov, you know, we don't understand it, so what do I care whether we already know that the act is Osir as an Isser Aseh, or whether we don't know anything? You know, it's the point that Magid Mishnah is making, which is that if the act is already prohibited, and it's just a question of how prohibited it is, you know, you're knocking it up from an Isser Aseh to a Lav based on the Kal Vachomer, alright, you know, so if I can't use the Kal Vachomer because of the Zeres HaKosov, that shouldn't matter. Similarly, if the idea is the third of the three approaches we outlined, namely that, you know, you can't impose a punishment based on a Kal Vachomer because maybe an even greater punishment is warranted, so that would apply, you know, the Magid Mishnah's scenario as well. In other words, good. So we know that an animal that lacks two signs of tahara is certainly going to be prohibited as an Isser Aseh, but still, how can you make the jump to say that you should get Malkus for eating that, just because you get Malkus for eating an animal that has one simon? I would say no. If you eat an animal that has one simon, that's a lav, and you get Malkus. Maybe if I eat an animal that's missing both simonim, so maybe that's something worse than Malkus, you know? Maybe it's Malkus and a carbon, maybe it's kares, I mean, who knows? It could be something more than just getting Malkus. You know, the svar of the Magid Mishnah wouldn't seem to work with that either. What the Magid Mishnah does seem to work with, however, is the idea that Ein Oshin Min Hadin, because maybe you'll find there's something wrong with the Kal Vachomer. Right? So here the logic would go as follows. If we started off with the assumption that the act wasn't even prohibited to begin with, and then you came along based on a Kal Vachomer and said, not only is the act, you know, prohibited, but it brings a punishment with it, how are you so sure? Maybe your Kal Vachomer isn't so great. You know, maybe the act is really permissible. But if we know from the get-go, the Magid Mishnah says, that the act of eating an animal that has, you know, that's lacking both signs of kashrus is certainly prohibited, you know, our only issue is it only an Isser Aseh, or is it also a lav? So we don't have to worry, you know, about the quality of the Kal Vachomer over there, because the Kal Vachomer is not coming along to prohibit something which was previously thought to be permissible. The Kal Vachomer is coming along and just, you know, giving us greater insight into the degree of the prohibition. So, you know, the stakes are a lot lower, and, you know, our fear of a Kal Vachomer pricha, of a Kal Vachomer that's going to have something flawed about it, is much less bothersome. Yeah. Right. So the idea of by the way, I mean, the Ari Shonim will say that identifying the kosher signs of an animal is actually one of the mitzvahs of Seimen HaTorah. Right. So in other words, not necessarily. You know, every time you have a steak, you're doing a mitzvah saseh. But in other words, if you take the time, again, more in the role of the farmer, if you take the time to make sure that you're only eating kosher as opposed to chase, that actually is a mitzvah saseh. But the nature of an isser aseh is a little bit, you know, different than that. An isser aseh is primarily focused not on, you know, what you do. It's also focused on what you don't do. In that way, it's similar to a lav. However, it's a negative prohibition that sort of emerges implicitly from a positive statement in the Torah. So in other words, you know, to say that there's an Isser Aseh doesn't necessarily imply that every time you're going to have a kosher steak, you're fulfilling a Mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah. But it does show that the source for eating a non-kosher steak, you know, would be a mitzvah saseh. In other words, the mitzvah saseh in this case is actually telling you what not to do. In other words, the mitzvah saseh is only do this, you know, not to eat from the treisa animal. Okay, so that's the presentation of the Magid Mishnah. The Maral himself, after expressing that he's not 100% on board with this Magid Mishnah, suggests a different explanation, which I think if you think about it, again, it's not exactly the Magid Mishnah, but the distinctions between what the Maral himself says and the Magid Mishnah, it's a subtle distinction. L'chach nira, it seems as follows. The Braitza Matur Tzrihi, the Shapira Me'od. Unlike the Ramban, who was willing to dismiss this passage in Taras Kohanim, which is the source for Rashi, the Maral says, no, it's 100% accurate, it's an authentic presentation of Chazal. The Shapira Me'od, and it's actually very beautiful. The Zadai Ki Amrinon Ein Masirin Min Hadin, Hainu Heicha She'anu Boi Nulmo Miguf Hadin. Shatara Asra Bas Bito, Im Anu Boi Nulmo Bito Mimenu Amrinu Boze Ein Masirin Min Hadin, The Shema Gzera Sakosuv Hu, The Ein Lahansir Min Hadin. Says the Maral, when do we have a concept of Ein Masirin Min Hadin? That's when we try to learn out a new halacha from simply the existence of a halacha that's told to us in the Chumash. It was one of the examples of Ein Masirin Min Hadin. The Torah speaks explicitly about how a grandfather is not allowed to have a relationship with his granddaughter. So the idea of Ein Masirin Min Hadin would say that, well, you know, logically, if a grandfather can't have a relationship with his granddaughter, you know, an illicit relationship with his granddaughter, he's a father and a daughter certainly can't have an illicit relationship, right? The relationship is that much closer. I mean, it's so much closer to incest to have a father and a daughter together, right? So Ein Masirin Min Hadin comes along and says, no, just because you know that a grandfather and a granddaughter are usher, you can't assume that a father and a daughter are going to be usher. Of course, a father and a daughter are usher, but you can't just learn that out from a Kal Vachomer. That's Ein Masirin Min Hadin. Aval kishahatora nasna tam ladova. The Amr Torah v'yash ha-shofon kimala geirahu farso lo yafris. The vaday uvibira yalfinon ein la simen klau diyoser avdis. The ha'atora nasna tam, the shakir yalus lay b'kal v'chomer. However, our case, says the Maral, is different than the case of the grandfather, granddaughter, and the father, daughter. Here, the Torah, when it speaks about the animals which only have one simon, the Torah gives a certain degree of explanation. In other words, the Torah says, don't eat the gomel, arneves, shofon, and chazir, despite the fact that they have one simon tahara, but they only have one simon. So since the Torah takes pains to explain why it is that it spells out you can't eat these four animals, right? The Torah, in a sense, addresses what you might have thought. You might have thought that since they have one simon, that's kind of good enough. Maybe that would be okay. Maybe that'd be okay under certain circumstances. No, despite the fact that it has one good simon, but it doesn't have both good simon, and so therefore it's going to be awesome. Since the Torah expresses itself with that reason, that allows us to then be Masir Min Hadin and to be Onshin Min Hadin in this particular circumstance. We'll pick up after Maya, we'll explain this a little bit more, and we'll explain, I think, where the Maral is coming from in terms of the three different positions in Achronim that we outlined a little bit earlier. There was a matter of a Kasha Omer. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shir Garaye Maral Parshas Shmini. So the Maral was explaining why Rashi, Perek Yidal Pasuk Ches, is able to quote a passage from the Taras Kohanim that says, basically, the Kal Vachomer, if the Taras says explicitly that it's allowed when you get Malkus for eating an animal that only has one sin in Tahara, that has only one side of being kosher, so Kal Vachomer, certainly one would, it's allowed and one would get Malkus for eating an animal that lacks two sides. You know, there's no signs of being kosher. So the Ramban raised the question, isn't this a classic example of Ein Onshin Min Hadin? that you're not allowed to impose a punishment based on a kal v'chomer. So the Maral, after quoting a Magid Mishnah, is in the midst of saying his own answer. His own answer essentially is as follows. The classic example of Ein Olshin Min HaDin is in the area of arayos, of illicit relations, where the Torah says explicitly a grandfather and a granddaughter is a prohibited incestuous relationship. So we can't use the kal v'chomer to say automatically a father and a daughter would be an illicit incestuous relationship. Because again, as the Maral puts it, maybe it's a gzeiras hakosuf, maybe the Torah, for whatever reason, only wants to prohibit a grandfather and a granddaughter, and if you can't necessarily use the logic to extend that to a father or a daughter unless the Torah tells you it explicitly. Here, however, the Torah explains the logic in the psukim of the Torah itself. In other words, when the Torah talks about the four animals that are prohibited because they have only one sign of Tahara, the Torah essentially says, despite the fact that they only have one sign of, that they have only one sign of Tumah, and there's one sign of Tahara, despite that fact, you still can't eat this. And the fact that the Torah in theory could have just said, don't eat a gomel, don't eat an arnevis, don't eat a shafan, and don't eat a chazir, and it would have, come down to the same thing. You can't eat these four animals. But the Torah doesn't just say that. The Torah says, don't eat these four animals, despite the fact that you would have thought that there's an offense of hava mina. You thought they would have been permissible because at least they have one simon of Sahara, one sign of their kashrus. Once there's the Torah deals in the realm of reasons and gives employs the idea of logic in describing the prohibition, we then have the right, says the Maharal, to employ a kal v'chomer and to say, it's not so much a kal v'chomer, but the Torah itself is saying that you might have thought these are exceptions to the rule, but in stating the exceptions to the rule, the Torah really implicitly is telling you what the rule itself is, right? So, says the Maharal, who the town will shayich ein mazirin, when the Torah gives a reason, as it does over here, the whole concept of ein mazirin min hadin would not apply. So, adirabba, kasher ein ol no same tam, ein mazirin min hadin, yesh tam acher, the ein lulma v'inenu, right? It's when the Torah does not give any reason for a prohibition that we invoke the idea of ein mazirin min hadin, because maybe the reason is something beyond our comprehension which we can't extrapolate from. But where the Torah explains some of the logic, in other words, don't eat these animals despite the fact that you might have thought that you could because they have one siman Torah, there the idea of ein matirin, of ein olshin matirin does not apply. If you think about it, this clearly is going to make sense as the Maharal. We had outlined before three different reasons that are developed in Achronim as to why ain't Olshin Min HaDin. Either you're right, really we should be Olshin Min HaDin, but it's a Gzeiras HaKosuv, or maybe ain't Olshin Min HaDin because the logic might be faulty and we may not be aware of it, or maybe ain't Olshin Min HaDin because maybe the Onesh which should result is actually an even greater onesh than the onesh that was given by the Torah for the less severe crime, and we wouldn't want to impose an onesh that's inappropriate and imply therefore that it's going to be some kind of kapar when in fact it isn't. It sounds like the Maharal is actually presenting a fourth approach to why ein onshin min adin. Basically, the Maral seems to be taking the approach, and he says this, I think, more or less explicitly. Maral seems to be taking the approach that in Oshin Min HaDin, why? Because you can't apply logic to the Torah's laws on a fundamental level to learn one law from the next. In other words, you're right, logically, if the grandfather can't be intimate with his granddaughter, logically, that would lead you to the conclusion that a father can't be intimate with his daughter. You're right. But, how can you apply logic to the laws of the Torah? In other words, there's certain things, logically I wouldn't have come up with the idea of shatnez on my own, right? So, for you to apply your logic and say
that if grandfather to granddaughter is prohibited, so therefore it follows logically that a father and daughter certainly is going to be prohibited? No. You know, maybe the Torah has an explicit reason why, you know, the grandfather and the granddaughter are prohibited, and that wouldn't apply to the father and the daughter. In other words, the whole notion of Ein Oshen Adin, Ein Masirin Min Adin, is that we can't use our own human logic, you know, to figure out the laws of the Torah. However, since the Maral, where the Torah itself comes along and basically gives us license to use logic, where the Torah says, you know, the reason the Gomo, the Chazir, the Arnevis, and the Shofan are going to be prohibited is despite the, you know, the reason that they had to be prohibited explicitly is despite the fact that you might have thought that they're permissible, right? So then the Torah is giving us a green light, so to speak, to be able to employ the logic in general, and the concept of Oshin Min Adin, you know, in, and to utilize the Kal Vachomer in this particular context. I think that's a fourth reason for why Ein Oshin Min Adin, in other words, you know, the whole concept of the Kal Vachomer is not something that we can use in order to create Yisurim. Within an Isser, again, clearly Kal Vachomer is one of the Yudgimel Midas HaTorah and Hadeshes for him. Right? So within a prohibition, within different, you know, categories of prohibitions, so we can utilize Kal Vachomer. In other words, if we know a certain activity is prohibited on Yom Tov, Kal Vachomer is going to be prohibited on Shabbos, right? Because in other words, we understand what these are pre-existing categories of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and we know that Shabbos is more Chomer than Yom Tov. Okay, so within a pre-existing category, we can utilize Kal Vachomer, but to use Kal Vachomer to create an Isser in the first place, that we don't have the ability to do, because who says that the Torah matches our human logic? The only time we can create an Isser with the Kal Vachomer is when the Torah essentially gives us carte blanche, or you know, the green light to be able to do so, as the Torah does in this particular circumstance. Right. No, the truth. Right. No, the truth is, I misspoke a little bit before when I said that the Maral fits into that second approach. I think if anything, the Maral is really on a certain level outlining a fourth approach, which I don't think we really find in the classic raid, you know, so to speak, about the three approaches in Achronim to Ein Oshin and Adin, Ein Masirin and Adin. The Maral seems to be saying a fourth approach. Again, in his words, Amrinon Bozeh, you know, in the case of, you know, the grandfather, the granddaughter, in that case we say, Ein Masirin Min Adin, Tishema Gzeiras HaKosovu, maybe this prohibition is just simply the Torah's decree, and, you know, Ein Masirin Min Adin basically says, what right do we have to use our logic to create Yisurim when the Torah doesn't tell us explicitly? Not that a logic is necessarily flawed, right? It's similar to that. But maybe the use of logic is flawed, right? Maybe the application of logic in this case is flawed. I presented that as the second one, right? But again, in some ways it's similar to that, but I think it's not exactly the same thing. It's not that the specific logic over here might be flawed, but you know, maybe the whole application of logic, you know, to create Yisurim is a flawed enterprise. Yeah. Right. So that's an interesting question, but I think the assumption behind that is, no, it doesn't work like that. In other words, right, but in other words, we can't make up on our own what the kapar is going to be, and we can't even make up a partial kapar, because who says that this lesser onus for what he deserves is even a partial kapar? Maybe the kapar only comes about, you know, maybe it's all or nothing. Again, we don't know, you know, so that's the limit of our logic as applied to the Torah.
Regarding the riots, this specific one, and this other one, the other ones you would think would be allowed, that's the concept, for example.
Right.
They say, a man cannot be with his ex, that's already, you know, you see with your
right.
But
Right, 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 concept of Ein Makir Min HaDin. We'll pick up next time, Ezra Hashem, and wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.